Sign of the World, Hotel Mars, Episode N. I'm John Batchelor. David Livingston, Dr. Space himself of the Space Show, is here as my colleague and co-host and co-pilot. And we're going to the Koreas. North Korea, DPRK, non-transparent, a predator state. And South Korea, a strong ally of the United States, also a spacefaring country. South Korea deploys second homegrown spy satellite from U.S. within these last days. South Korea, Bloomberg reporting, deployed second domestically made spy satellite aboard a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket launched from the U.S., enabling South Korea to keep closer tabs on threats from the likes of nuclear-armed North Korea. At the same time, we have concerns, always concerns about North Korea. So I go to the Guardian story. This is some weeks behind us. First North Korean satellite is alive, that's in quotes, and being controlled, experts say. David Maxwell of the Global Peace Foundation, he is vice president for the Center for Asia Security, Asia Pacific Security. David, a very good evening to you. It appears that there's a contest underway with these spy satellites. Let us begin with the threat. North Korea, is this launch a product of that tete-a-tete with Vladimir Putin some weeks ago and a trip to Vostochny, or is this a North Korean success? Good evening to you.
Yes, I think I think your answer was in your opening remarks, the non-transparent North Korea. So I think it's difficult to know for sure, but it certainly is a coincidence with the meeting between Kim and Putin and then the recent launch. Certainly, Kim wants the technology and the support, the expertise from Russia to help it develop its satellite capabilities. So it's possible that this could be a product of that meeting and of Russian help. But as you note, they are not transparent, so it's difficult for us to determine how much help Russia provided, if any.
Mr. Livingston?
So is South Korea mostly focused on watching North Korea, but they signed Artemis and they have a lunar plan? So are they trying to do two things at once, expand space, but also watch their neighbor through space?
Yes, I think that's a correct description. I think that certainly they want satellites that will provide them the imagery for early warning and indications of North Korean activity. But I think South Korea, as President Yoon said, is a global pivotal state. And I would say that that also includes activities in space that can further its, it's not only its reputation, but its capabilities, scientific capabilities that will really, I think, in the long run, impact not only relations in the international community, but probably its economy as well. And so I think that it can do both. And I think that shows, when you compare North and South, the superiority of the South, not only technically, but also from an international relations and just a global citizen perspective.
We have the North Korean launch success following two failures. Do we know anything about them, David?
We just don't know what the cause of the failures were. And of course, that's the important reason why you continue to test and to conduct these launches, is to learn from the mistakes. And so obviously, North Korea is learning something, and either they learned something or they got help from Russia, or combination of both. So I think, we sometimes you learn more from failures than you do from success. And so North Korea is going to continue on its program. But I think one thing we can be sure of is North Korea's program is for hostile intent.
Were you surprised, David, because you've been watching North Korea all these years, they've struggled to show technical quality for quite some time. And this is a success that it took the U.S. many failures to get our satellite up. So should we credit their engineers?
Yes, I think so. I think that, North Korea has demonstrated a great ability to develop weapon systems, technology, of course, its nuclear program. And I, you know, speaking objectively, I give their scientists and technicians great credit for being able to produce under such a terrible despotic regime that while the regime wants nuclear weapons, wants missile technology, wants space launch capabilities and satellite capabilities, North Korea is not an ideal environment for scientists to develop these capabilities. And so those who have worked on these programs and have shown success, I do give them great credit because they're working under terrible political and ideological conditions in the North.
David Livingston, question.
Is the assessment that North Korea wants and is building their nuclear program because they intend to use it? Or is this to try to keep people from bothering their regime and sort of a deterrent and let them be as they are? What's the assessment on North Korea and their nuke program?
I'd say yes and yes. I think, first of all, in the long run, they want to, their objective is to dominate the Korean Peninsula. I think that's their overall objective. And they need to dominate the Korean Peninsula to ensure survival of the regime. And so it's conducting political warfare, blackmail diplomacy, while developing these advanced military capabilities. And the advanced military capabilities are really twofold. Deterrence, as you said, is one, threefold. Deterrence is one, but also support to blackmail diplomacy, which is the use of threats, increased tensions, and provocations to gain political and economic concessions. And so the development of nuclear weapons supports that. It supports deterrence. It supports political warfare and blackmail diplomacy. But in the end, should they choose to try to use force to dominate the peninsula, they will use its military capabilities. So their nuclear weapons provide multiple support to multiple elements of their strategy.
The domestic built satellites, there's this emphasis in the stories, David. And they plan a series of launches aimed at five spy satellites by 2025. They can see the ground regardless of clouds. That's obvious an advantage. However, why is it that they want to emphasize they built them as opposed to off the shelf? Is there tension with the U.S.?
I don't think so. We're talking about South Korea. I think South Korea is demonstrating.
South Korea.
Yeah, South Korea is demonstrating its technical capabilities. And I think that while they are a strong ally and want to be allied with the United States, want to benefit from the alliance, they also want to be independent. And they want to develop those capabilities. And if you look at what South Korea has been doing, it has really emerged as a partner in the arsenal of democracy. And in other military areas, they are selling advanced military equipment, tanks, artillery, aircraft, to other like-minded countries, other democracies, in NATO countries, Poland, Romania, other countries in Asia. And so, it wants to develop these capabilities for export, but to enhance its reputation internationally. So I don't think it's competition with the United States. I think South Korea has often recently filled a void in what the U.S. can provide, especially with what's going on in Ukraine and our support to Ukraine. And so South Korea is able to sell and advance technology, advance military weapons. And I believe its space program probably, is along those same lines.
David Livingston, we have about a minute for another question.
South Korea has an aggressive lunar plan, and then beyond that, they plan on going to Mars a few years later. Can they do all of this given their national security requirements? Are they funded that well?
No, I think that's a great question. And I think right now, maybe a lunar program is possible, a Mars program. I think that's still a dream in space there. But you're exactly right. The priority has to remain on defense against North Korea. And it is the existential threat. But and you're far more knowledgeable than I am, space programs do develop, the research and development do develop other capabilities that are valuable. But I think your question is right. Can they allocate the resources to do something that expensive to go to Mars versus having to maintain the military capability to deter and defend against North Korea?
David Maxwell is Vice President of the Center for Asia Pacific Security. He's also a fellow at the Global Peace Foundation. Dr. Space, David Livingston, he is the host of The Space Show. This is Hotel Mars. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.